Already, Madam Chair, it's on whenever you're ready.
Okay. Okay.
Seven.
We're going to have a prayer by Kristen here and the pledge by Megan on this side of me. So we'll do the prayer first.
Lord, please bless this group and town. Please grant us the ability to make decisions that benefit the town. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 Oops.
We're awake.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, our first thing is public comment. This is for people that have something on the agenda they want to comment about but don't have time to stay for the full meeting. At the end of the meeting, we'll have public comment. Does anybody have any comments to be made now?
About you can comment again at the end, right?
You can comment at the end.
Right.
Yeah, if you can't stay, you comment now. Okay. Approval of February 27, 2019 minutes for possible action. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion. We accept the minutes as written.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approval of agenda for March 13, 2019. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion.
To accept the agenda?
Approve the agenda.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, there's no informational items, right, Janice?
No, ma'am.
Our first item is ZC 19019129, Clegg Francine R zone change to reclassify 3.9 acres from RU rural open lands to zone to RE rural estates residential zone for an existing and future single family resident generally located on the south side of Frainer Avenue, 188 feet east of Lyman within Moapa Valley. Do we have representatives from? You want to come up to the microphone?
Oh, sorry.
State your name and address for the record.
Francine Clegg, physical address?
Yeah.
Turn on the microphone. Oh, I'm sorry. So physical address is 1405 Frainer Avenue, Bloomingdale, okay. Nevada, 89021.
Thank you. Okay. I talked with Gene on the phone, and he said that he was totally for this, so I don't know if that matters in our vote or not, but
nope.
He wanted to make that known before the board and everybody that Gene Houston is totally for this division for this of this property.
Okay. He can't cast a vote, but that was nice of him.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Clegg, you need to just tell us what you want to do.
So we're requesting to rezone so that we can subdivide it, request to subdivide it, and put another home that for a family in need.
So is there already a home on the property?
Yes, there's already a home on the property.
And how do you want to subdivide it?
We were going to donate 0.93 acres.
Okay.
Can you come up here and show me on my map how you want to subdivide it?
It sounds like basically you're keeping 3 acres.
Right.
And then the other 0.9 is going to a family?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you show me how you're going to, that's your property outline in pink.
Oops, sorry. So we were going to do, oh, it's not writing,
okay,
but that lower portion there.
Okay. She's just going to do this portion right here.
Do you plan on putting a stick-built home or a manufactured home?
We're still deciding.
You're planning to keep the property in your name and not sell it to the other people?
No, we were going to donate it.
You're donating it, okay.
Awesome.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
I make a motion that we, sorry, that we approve it. Approve the ZC190129 for Plague Francine R for the zone change.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Ms. Clegg, you have to go to, it's the Board of County Commissioners because it's a zone change on April 3rd at 9 a.m.
Yes.
I will contact you in the event that it's on consent when lots of items are approved with one motion and no one gets up and speaks.
Okay.
If that's the case, you will not need to drive into town.
Okay.
So you put your name and phone number on there, right?
I did.
Okay. All right, unless you have some public comment or you want to stay with a tiny baby, you don't have to. Otherwise, we'll see you down at the BCC on April 3rd unless you hear from me.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, our next item of business is the Moapa Valley Revitalization Project. MVRP is requesting the Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board to support the installation of a banner in the large meeting room of the Moapa Valley Community Center. The banner contains the newly adopted Moapa Valley logo for discussion and possible action. You want to state your name and your address?
My name is Mary Kay Washburn. I'm president of the Moapa Valley Revitalization Project. And this logo came about by way of a contest that we had about 8 or 9 months ago, and we opened it up to the public. We are attempting to provide a brand for Moapa Valley for tourism, just like Mesquite, Kanab, Sedona, Moab, they all have a logo that represents their identity for a destination. So we have to create that identity and have it be something that we can put on materials that promote Moapa Valley for tourism. So this is not an MVRP logo, it is a logo that creates that identity, that brand for Moapa Valley. And so we would like to have the identity displayed here in the community center so that we can show that that has been established. And we invite businesses and organizations throughout the community to use the logo however they see fit to promote tourism. Whether they're printing up hats and t-shirts for their organization or for their business for sale, they have a right to use that. We are not claiming any kind of need for a royalty. It's open for use, such as Extreme Stitch is going to be making some t-shirts and hats for the upcoming bicycle event, The Loop, and they'll be selling those in their store. And so anytime an organization wants to promote something for the valley, say the Hump and Bump by PIC, we're not asking them to replace their logo. We're just asking if they want to use the logo to help identify the valley in any type of activities that relate to tourism, that it's available, and again, at no cost. And this was created by Katie Jade Adams. She was the winner of the competition, and so it was voted on by the community when we had the contest. So essentially that's what this is about.
This is the logo over here in front of Janice. This is the logo, too, if you're interested. Here's one.
And does anyone have a question regarding the purpose of this?
How big would the banner be?
I would say probably about a 6 foot by 2 foot, could be a little
kind of
less.
In relation to that?
That's probably about that size.
Okay.
It could be a little smaller. I'm not sure what the big banner sizes would probably would order something that would be a standard size, but it could be, you know, maybe 2/3 of that size as well.
It depends also where you put it.
this is Jean Gottschall.
Yes, Jean Gottschall, also here for MVRP. It depends where you would like us to put it. And mm-hmm. We could put it on front of the desk. We could put it there. So depending where you would want it, we can pick the appropriate size.
Okay, are there any questions from the audience? Any more questions from the board? Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we vote on acceptance of the banner for MVRP and the Moapa Valley logo.
It's not for MVRP, though. It's not MVRP's logo. It's Moapa Valley's logo, right?
Right.
Okay, there's a motion on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, the next item is Moapa Valley Town Advisory Board members to discuss the proposed resource management plan for We the People and take in public input for discussion and possible action. Is anyone here to represent the We the People plan?
Is that the
regular
plan?
That's you.
That's you.
That's you. You're
is
up.
That me?
That's you, you're up.
I'm glad it's We the People. The land use plan. Okay. Well, I'm happy to be here one more time.
Please state your name and address.
That's Ivan Bundy.
Thank you.
Okay. First, I want to say that when we have rain, cowboys are happy, and we've had a lot of rain. And if you want to see something beautiful, you go over along the Birch River between Bartonville and Riverside area, and it's so lush you can't really believe that it's on the desert. It's really lush.
Like Southern California.
Yeah, it's really pretty. And the thing of it is, it's soaking wet. We had a good rain just last night.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's interesting is when you look at the land, you know, you have plants that are a foot high, but if you look in some bare spot, there's still little baby plants coming up. So I don't know what will happen to those, but you know, it's amazing. And the Joshua trees and stuff are blooming. We coming across the mesa here just a few minutes ago, and we, you know, one tree usually has two or three blossoms on it. We had seen them with probably, 25 blossoms on one tree. Unbelievable. So. Anyway, things look really nice on the Bundy Ranch, put it that way.
That's nice.
Of course, I'm here to present this land plan, and I know some of you still haven't really got to see the pictures, haven't seen the whole, you know, what we presented to the board before you were appointed to this board. And I'm quite concerned about that because I wanted you to understand and see really what we're trying to do, because this is really a big thing when you're talking about a whole big area that you're really changing the whole type of plan and even the ownership type thing on it. But we've been here, I think this might be the fifth time.
Probably.
And so, you know, we're sort of getting to the point we ought to make an action out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like that even today, maybe we don't need to have an action if the chairman feels like it should happen, but it should still be a discussion. You heard me, a month ago, and you've had time to read the plan, you've had time to discuss it with your people, I guess. And what's been interesting here is that I've never received one comment for or against. Is over the last month. And so I'm sort of lost on what you people are thinking about this. It seemed like there's should be 1,000 questions and yet I haven't had one. And so I might just ask the chairman sort of how she would like to handle this tonight. And what do you want to, I'm here to answer any questions to start with. That's
okay, let's start with that then. Does the audience have any questions for Mr. Bundy of the land use plan? No questions from the audience. Does the board have any questions?
You stated that the Constitution declares that government cannot own property. What about the property clause that specifically gives the government the power to own land?
Would you like to do that?
Just for clarity, are you referring to Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2?
I just have the property clause that states specifically gives the government the power to own land. Over time, the Supreme Court has ruled that not only does the government own the land, but it enjoys broad rights in deciding what happens to the land. Property clause gives Congress authority over federal property generally. The Supreme Court has described Congress's power to legislate the clause without limitation.
Okay, so the only two places in the Constitution that allow for any type of government land ownership is, you have a copy of the Constitution, by the way, is Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, which Article 4, Section 3 is primarily dealing with the formation of new states. Now, certain lands prior to becoming statehood are considered territory. And under Article 3, Section, Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, we give Congress the power to make the needful rules and regulations respecting the territories. Okay? Now, a territory is different from a state.
Well, what I have on Article 4 says that Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other properties belonging to the United States.
Correct. Okay, so now the question comes in to is what are those other properties? Now, we understand that the 10th Amendment makes it clear that any power not given to Congress are retained to the states respectively or to the people. So this other property that we're looking at, there must be a place in the Constitution that allows for other property. Okay, so where is that?
The way I read it, it's through the property clause.
Okay, so there's only the other, only other place is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Now these are the powers, well, Article 1, Section 8 are the powers that we the people granted to Congress. There's only 18 powers there. Okay, so Congress has 18 powers and that's it. Now, Clause 17 lines out what land Congress may own within a state, within an admitted state of the Union. Okay, so again, Article 4 is talking about territorial law. But once a territory is accepted as a state, everything changes. Congress loses that power granted temporarily in Article 4, and now they have to abide by Article 1. Article 1 allows for Congress to purchase properties from the state after obtaining the state legislature's consent. And then that land can only be used for five express purposes. And that is military bases, arsenals, dockyards, magazines, and other needful buildings. Now, if you understand the purpose that our founding fathers put together, you got to realize that we were and still are several independent sovereign states. Now, we've joined together in a union. We form this union. The Constitution creates the federal government. The states existed prior to the federal government. We joined together as a union. Now, this new government that was created, this new central government, we granted to them certain powers. That's Article 1, Section 8. Now, Congress knew, our founding fathers knew, that to fulfill these purposes, they would need a certain amount of land to be able to fulfill the duties that we give it. They needed a home base. They needed a place to call home. And so Article 1, Section 8, first of all, begins by lining out the 10-mile square, which will be the seat of government. We know that to be Washington, D.C. It's 10 miles by 10 miles, so it's actually 100 square miles. And we granted Congress unlimited power to make all the needful rules and regulations. And the way it's stated in there is that they shall have exclusive legislation. Exclusive, which means nobody else has legislative power there. Congress has that power in Washington, D.C. No state can intercede in Washington, D.C. Now, it goes on to say that they can have like authority over all places purchased after getting the consent of the state legislature in which the same shall be, and for the erection of military bases, arsenals, dockyards, magazines, and other naval buildings. And so one of the main purposes that our founding fathers give to the central government was our defense. And they knew to carry out that purpose, they're going to need some military bases, they're going to need some dockyards for their navy, they're going to need some arsenals for their guns, and et cetera, and magazines for the ammo. And then they include other needful buildings, which is a bit more broad, because we also give them power to control or to run the post office, and postal roads and so forth. We also give them, we talk about judicial branch, and so courthouses and a few things fall within that. And so within an admitted state of the union, Article 1, Section 8 is the ruling factor. Article 4, Section 3 is territorial. And so when we read that, okay, Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory. Okay, so now there's a few things in there. If Congress only has the power to do what we've given them to do, and we've given them the power to dispose, there's no place in there that we give them the power to retain. If they have the power to dispose of, but they do not have the power to retain, then they must. They have an obligation to dispose of the territory. Now, our founding fathers have done this, and our government has done this through several different means. The Homesteading Act, for one instance, is they were just giving land away to those who would stake the claim. Congress can sell the land. But the ultimate tool of disposal is statehood. Because once it turns into a state, then to be upon equal footing, and I think we talked about equal footing at length last time I was here, to be an equal footing, then all of the land within the state must belong to the people of that state. And so Article 4 only gives Congress power over territories. And Nevada is no longer a territory. Nevada is a state. And so Nevada revised statutes. This process by which I speak of, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, has taken place numerous times in Nevada. And so it's been, it's an established precedence. We have other records too, such as the pioneers of this valley and Virgin Valley. When they first came here, you know, I know Bunkerville was settled in 1877, and Moapa was settled about three times before it finally stuck, if I remember right. But the pioneers in that time were purchasing land, not from the federal government, but from the state. We have record of that. And which goes to show that the state owned the land. And then also through those situations when the Congress has properly asked Nevada for right to purchase land, they have done that. Now, at some point in time in history, they stopped doing it, now they claim to own it, but that's not constitutional.
Okay, but we also have the law that created the state of Nevada in 1864. Mm-hmm. The state specifically agreed to give up any claim to unappropriated public lands lying within said territory, and that the same shall be and remain the sole and entire disposition of the United States. Has anybody found where they took that back?
Yes, actually they did. Okay, in the state legislature at one point, in fact, we voted on it. I remember voting on it. It was about 1984, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Doug? You remember?
Well, it happened in 76, and I think 96 also.
Well, I know that the state made a state, Nevada state constitutional amendment, wherein they changed that language. And I know to make a constitutional amendment, it has to be voted on twice. So I think, I don't know whether that's 2 years apart or 4 years apart, but it has to go through two different elections. And I do have record of that. And of course, it's in the state law as well. But that language in the state constitution was changed. And then there's also been another referendum that passed wherein Nevada State Legislature came forth and said, no, the land belongs to the people of Nevada. And I can get those for you.
Talk a little bit about the 1866 Act.
Okay, so the situation, this only applies particularly to Clark County and the southern point of Nye County. This area, the southern point of Nevada, was never part of Nevada Territory. Nevada Territory grew bits by bits because all of this was Utah Territory at one point, and then Nevada got carved out of it, and it was very small, and then a slice was added on to the east, and another slice was added on to the east, and another slice was added on to the east, and eventually Nevada became a state. But at that point, this southern part of Nevada was never part of Nevada Territory. It was Arizona Territory. And it was actually called Paiute County. It was just a county within Arizona Territory. Now, in 1866, Congress made an act and ceded this portion of Nevada to Nevada. So that's a ceding. In other words, they relinquished territorial control over this, and they added this to Nevada. And that is a more clear cut. In other words, though, that language that you're talking about that was in the Enabling Act and also in the Nevada State Constitution, it doesn't apply to this area down here. It only applies to the territory of Nevada. And even then, it can be argued that it's unconstitutional because where in the Constitution do we allow Congress to retain ownership of land? And also the Equal Footing Doctrine does not allow for that. And so even if that language is in there, which it was, it doesn't fit within the parameters of the constitutional powers given to Congress. This is deep stuff, isn't it?
Do you have a question, Ralph?
Yeah, I do. I personally think that we should let this go down to the county because we don't have anybody in here who knows the Constitution, that if it's right or wrong. And I think our board doesn't have anybody here, a legal counsel or anything, and I think we should pass and let it go down to the county office.
Well, here's what I can say, give a little advice to you there, is that, you know, our founding fathers, I don't remember which one, whether it's Benjamin Franklin or whatever, they stated that we cannot be ignorant and free.
Well, sorry, and I'm ignorant and free because, I'm sorry, this, I don't have no knowledge of what you're speaking about.
Sure.
I don't know if anybody else here has knowledge of what you're speaking about.
And with that ignorance, we lose our freedom, and therefore
no, we're not losing our freedom.
What we do if we don't understand where our rights are and what our rights are, then they can be taken, and we won't even know the difference. And this land ownership is one of those. You know, again, to complete the statement of our founding fathers, if you know, we can't expect to be ignorant and free. If we expect that, we expect what never was and what never will be. And so we're supposed to read the Constitution, study it, and come to understand it so that you can stand up for your rights. Now, also on that note is that, you know, this is an advisory board. We're supposed to be advising the county commissioner. Instead of them coming down and telling us what, we are the people, and they are our representatives, so we're supposed to advise to them what to do.
We can't expect them to tell us. We don't have a legal counsel here If you want me, I can call a legal counsel and ask them to come down, but I don't think they'd be here tonight.
Well, an attorney, well, a lawyer is nothing more than someone who is supposed to be an expert in the law.
Well.
And I can tell you this Constitution, you know, I've been studying now for 20-something years, and I'm getting to where I can understand it pretty good. Anyway, any other questions?
So I just want to make a statement. I'm kind of in agreement with Ralph. I have no law background. I have not studied law. What I do know is I do work for the government. I do know that there are many interpretations of the same laws. There's wide liberal interpretations. There's very narrow scope interpretations. I did look up the ownership of Nellis Air Force Base, because it came as a great surprise to me that Nellis didn't own it, the Department of Defense, and you were right. The Department of Defense does not own it. BLM owns it. It owns it, Creech, and NTTR. So under that, I am not at all comfortable advising the commissioners or anyone else of your plan. I do like the fact of, you know, building the Mesa out and that whole thing, but I fully believe that that's in the purview of the Land Commission and the Zoning Commission to design that and then present that design to us for approval and advising the commissioners if that's what we want to go forward with. But I am not at all comfortable in saying that we, the people, need to take this land back.
Let me ask you, when you say work for the government, what branch of government do you work for?
The Department of Defense.
You work for the Department of Defense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I at least congratulate you on that. At least that's a constitutional branch of government. So.
Well, we have our issues. We don't always agree, but...
Sure. Well, here's, you know, the position that we've been in for years and years is one that, let me just give you a brief history of where we've been. Now, we ranched there, and we've been, you know, on the Bunkerville area since 1877, our ancestors, until it's come down to us. And, you know, the Bureau of Land Management gained power, gained strength, and they, you know, began to try to control the land. And we didn't understand anything different either. We thought that they had authority, we thought that they had control, and yet something felt wrong. And when they began to manage us out of business and to take our rights and take our neighbors' rights, you know, we felt something was wrong, but we did not know. We were like you, brother over here. We had ignorance, we didn't understand what was right and what was wrong. And so my father particularly began to study and began to read, began to educate himself. And we came to the conclusion and understanding that the federal government does not have the power that we all assume that it has. And that's a key point, okay? The federal government is limited in its powers. It's limited primarily by what is not said. In other words, the 10th Amendment is very clear. Powers not given to Congress are retained to the people and to the state. And so if the federal government has a power to do something, it will be in the Constitution. And if it's not in the Constitution, then they do not have that power. That is why the 10th Amendment is so important and so precise. That now we want to say, okay, Congress wants to do something. We want to create an act. Well, is it in conformity with the Constitution? And if so, what clause, what specific point are they drawing from authority from there? And so when it comes to this land ownership, again, there's only two places that it talks about even territories. It doesn't say Congress owns it. It only says that they have could make needful rules and regulations for it, but then they have an obligation to dispose of it. They can't keep it. They can't keep it. Okay? The land and the resources belong to the people, period. And not to the people. people as a whole, but it's supposed to belong to individuals. The rights on land, whether it be private property rights or a grazing right or a mineral right or whatever other types of rights, the rights and the land and the resources needs to be in the hands of the people. Because if it goes into the hands of government, then the people become oppressed and can't thrive on the land. And that's what's taking place right now with the Bureau of Land Management and Forest Service and Park Recreation, etc., where they're trying to take control of the land. But then they just allow, you know, leasees, so to speak, to come on it. It's turned into a feudal system where, like back in the old European days, you have a king or a lord, and they own all the land, and the people are on it are nothing more than serfs. And you need to look up the terminology of a serf if you don't understand it right now. So are we free people? Do we have rights upon the land? Or are we nothing more than subjects, serfs, or slaves? The earth was not set up for that type of system.
Talk a little bit about the treaty, where the land came from.
Okay, so I'm speaking directly concerning the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. And I think you mentioned it a little bit last time I was here. But Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution is the Supremacy Clause. And it states that this Constitution, not some other Constitution, but this Constitution, and the laws which are made in pursuance thereof, this Constitution, and all treaties made, or which shall be made, are the supreme law of the land. And so a treaty that is made holds the same power as the Constitution. So now, this area of land, which comprises of, I think, 5 western states, California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, came into the territorialship of the United States under the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. Now, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, it now has a ruling influence over what's supposed to take place on this land. The powers that were given to Congress through that treaty were only that these lands be turned into states, that the rights of the people remain on the land, and that Congress didn't have ownership or control or authority over this land other than to decide when it shall become a state. That's about it. Okay? And so, again, when we talk about the land ownership, Congress has no right to own this land. This land is supposed to belong to the people, the state and the people. And so we are asking you, as an advisory board to the county commissioners, this is what needs to happen. This is what is incorrect with the law. The supreme law of land. And supreme means that any other subsequent law is lesser. Okay? Any court rulings, etc., they've got to be in accordance with that supreme law or they're invalid. Any act of Congress that is enacted that is not in pursuant thereof is invalid. That's why I've also mentioned, it was before you guys were in here, but we talked about that Gold Butte National Monument. By what authority did they make and designate a piece of land as a monument? Okay, I read through Article 1, Section 8, and I find no authority in there for Congress to be able to decide it's a monument. Now, we know if you read the Antiquities Act of 1903 that Congress granted the president a power to designate an item as
might be too long.
A little bit.
Okay. Congress granted the president authority to designate an item as a monument, as a national monument. But there's no power within Article 1 that allows Congress to extend the president powers that we didn't give him through Article 2 of the Constitution. And so in other words, they've granted the president the power that they have no authority to grant. So the president doesn't have that power. Congress doesn't have the authority to grant the president that power. And now, now the president thinks he has power to designate an item as a monument. And if you read the act, it talks about designating an item and that the least amount of land necessary to secure the item shall be included. And yet now we got a president who, you know, several presidents now, who have designated millions of acres as monuments. And yet they're not in accordance with the act itself by, where's the item? I want to know where the item is. What is the item of, that's supposed to be of historical value to become a monument? The second of all, where's their authority? They've hijacked the process and granted each other authorities that neither one had the right to grant. And yet, we just go along thinking that there's a monument out there. And this is a problem. This plan is supposed to clean that up. This plan is supposed to have you, people, the county, say, wait a second here. This land belongs to we, the people. And it's our responsibility to decide what happens on it, not Congress's. And that's basically the gist of the plan.
Thank you, Mr. Bundy. Okay, are there any more questions from the...
Questions, but I have a comment.
Okay, what's your comment?
My name is Keith Grimes. I live at 2110 Liston Avenue in Logandale. And I would say that you got to admire the persistence of the Bundys. They've been doing this for decades. And but the fact is you don't need a lawyer here. They've had three federal cases, all of which has ruled against these ideas. There's been at least one criminal case that's still ongoing that is related to this kind of idea. The Clark County has passed a resolution adopting a three-page land use program, only 3 pages long, 2013. All through it calls for cooperation between Clark County and the various federal agencies involved in the stewardship and ownership of the land. I think any action that comes out of this advisory board should conform to the to this program, which means that I really don't think you have the authority or should even advise, excuse me, that Clark County somehow go against the federal government on the use of land in Clark County. So if you want to come up with an action that says, you know, we encourage Clark County to encourage the BLM to let the Bundys graze cattle at Stewart's Point, I think that's fine. If you're going to come up with a resolution that says Clark County must do that because the federal government has no authority to keep cattle out of Stewart's Point, I think that would be completely inappropriate. And with that, all I will ask you to probably not even do an action or resolution to go to Clark County, but if you do, it's only 3 pages. It's on easily available on the internet. You don't need a lawyer to understand it, and it should emphasize the fact that this board believes that the federal government owns the land and that Clark County should not be going in opposition to the federal government. That's my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Grimes.
Can I respond to that?
Yes, you can.
First of all, for the record, we don't claim any grazing rights upon Stewart Point, that area that is on the outside of our boundaries. However, we do also recognize additional fences to prevent our cows from going over there, and we do know that they're over there from time to time. But we don't have any claim to right on that area. Second of all, again, we can't be ignorant and free, and land ownership and control is a very great freedom issue. Government at all levels, whether it be local, county, state, or federal, only has one purpose, and that is to aid the individual in claiming, using, and defending our rights. There's supposed to be a support to the people. And our founding fathers tried to make sure that they didn't create another monster like the one that they had just gained independence from. The federal government is supposed to be small, is supposed to have certain duties, and is not supposed to step outside those bounds, and yet they have. And so this isn't a matter of going against the federal government. It's a matter of using the proper checks and balances to put it back in its place, and which is, it has a place. We are not anti-government. We never have that. We recognize the need and the duty and the purpose for the federal government, and we are very thankful to have it. But it needs to be kept within the bounds that our founding fathers intended it to be, and the land ownership is not within that, except for those express purposes in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17.
Thank you. Any more comments from the board? Any more comments from the audience? Do I hear a motion?
I motion that we do not accept the We the People management plan.
Okay, there's a motion on the table that we do not accept the We the People management land management plan. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Yay. Okay. The ayes have it.
Was that 3-1? Or was that 4? 4?
No.
3-1?
No. I voted with them. I feel like I need to do more research. I've done a lot, but I have not come to a clear cut, because I've been on both sides of the fence. My family is a ranching family in Utah. But I need, not that I need evidence, but I need something that says that it is the people's, because everything I've read, the people of Nevada gave up the land to the government, and I've read a lot of things where there's ordinances in there that they cannot be changed without the permission of the people and Congress. So it can't just be just the people. It has to be both. We have to work with them. I mean, I don't like the fact that that's the way it's going to be.
True.
Because I agree with a lot of this stuff, because I do think we're being planned off the land, because it has happened to me.
Correct.
But until we get somewhere where we can work with it, I don't feel that there's anything that I can do until I can get to something that says this is how it is. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm even explaining it right.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, I've read a ton of stuff on this, and I know how I feel. But again, like what Kristen said, the law can be interpreted so many different ways. People are not always going to agree with me. People are not always going to agree with you. It can be interpreted, and that's where you run into the problem. And so there's not a clear-cut right or wrong answer.
Well, I know it's a difficult thing, but we've got to go back to the original intent.
I agree.
Our founding fathers. And so the only way to learn, because they're not here with us to simply ask, is to read what they have done, their discussions, the Federalist Papers, and other things that will show forth their intent and why they put this and why they put that in the Constitution and what their original intent was.
But intent is not enough when you've got the other side of the fence coming after you.
Well,
that's where I'm having, just because I know what's happened to my family, I know what's happened to your family, I know where this is probably going to go.
Well, again, I know I've kind of pounded it, the 10th Amendment quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. If you understand that Congress simply does not have power except what is expressly given. In other words, when you're saying, I need something that says that they don't have it, what says that is the absence of.
But see, that's the problem, is
all interpretation.
It's interpretation, because I feel like you can lie by omission to anybody you want.
That's
just
correct.
Because you don't say it, they might believe, and that's kind of where I'm having the issue. Because you can be lied to by omission multiple ways. And that's kind of, I guess that's kind of how I feel with this. Like, I'm struggling with that, because just because it's not there doesn't mean that's not what somebody else is going to interpret it as.
Well.
And yes. Somebody that has authority that interprets it differently, I mean, that could be bad for somebody else.
Well,
so
let me ask you this question then. First of all, do you understand what sovereignty is?
Yeah.
Do you understand who is the sovereign in America?
Mm-hmm.
Who? Do you know the answer to that?
God.
Well, God's sovereign over the world, obviously.
For us.
But in America, who is the sovereign?
We are.
Okay. And that's laid out in the first line of the Constitution. We the people do hear.
Right, but there's no clear-cut statement that says when this land was annexed from Arizona Territory, that it didn't have those same laws apply to it when Nevada became a state, when they gave up the land. And so there's nothing that says this part of the state isn't just wrapped up into that. There's no clear-cut anything that I've read.
It is, because, again, the principle that's established in the Tenth Amendment is that if it's not expressly given, then it doesn't happen. It's not clear. Okay.
But again, I feel like other people are going to interpret that different ways. That's where we're running into the problem. I mean, I might agree with that. You might agree with that. But somebody else isn't going to. So then it's just going to be a fight. And that's...
There is, you know, we do have the English language, and the words are supposed to communicate the intents. And if we can't read the Tenth Amendment, which expressly says, the powers not delegated to Congress by this Constitution are retained by the state and or the people respectively. That's as clear as it can be. If it's not given to them, they don't have it. That's why our Founding Fathers wrote that.
Madam Chairman, we have had a motion and a vote. Could I get a clarification on the vote?
The clarification on the vote is there's two against the passing of this We the People land use thing. One for it and one abstaining, right?
Well, I guess I have to, because I need that, just because I've been lied to by omission before, and that really does not set well with me. And that's kind of how I feel with the way some of this stuff is about how Nevada came to state. Just because it's not there doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Can outside this meeting, can I share some stuff with you to help you in that stuff?
Yes, because Madam
Chair. Can I just make one more comment?
Mr. Grimes has a comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say we're a democracy, and the courts have ruled against this idea. The Congress sets aside land, so they obviously don't take this position. Our own very conservative president today set aside millions of more acres of federal land for monuments, or I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I know he set aside a lot of land today that can't be developed and whatnot. The Clark County Commission has said we have to put that the federal government owns the land and we're going to cooperate with them. And the state of Nevada acknowledges that the land belongs to the federal government. I think that if you're going to pass anything at all that supports the Bundy family, which you're, of course, entitled to do, it should at least acknowledge that the federal government owns the land. And you could say, well, I want to encourage the federal government to let the Bundys graze. I don't even know where all they want to graze, but on top of Mormon Mesa. That would be, to me, acceptable. But I don't think you should pass a resolution that says, hey, the federal government has no right to regulate the land on Mormon Mesa or in Gold Butte, and therefore the Bundys have a right to do what they want with it. I don't think that would be appropriate. The federal government owns the land. Clark County acknowledges it. The state of Nevada acknowledges it. The courts acknowledge it. The Congress acknowledges it. And the President of the United States acknowledges it. And we're a democracy.
Well,
that's how it works.
You're wrong on the democracy issue, because our Founding Fathers did not establish a democracy. Article 4 lays that out clear, that we are guaranteed a Republican form of government. Not
with
an
elected president, elected Congress, and courts.
That's not what democracy is. We are a Republican form of government.
All right, all of this has been shot down numerous times in courts and
okay, Madam Chair, those conversations can take place. I've got to clarify.
We won't
abstaining, I don't think, is what you want to do. No, for those two gentlemen to talk.
No, I'm just saying, though, we won't have a quorum if she abstains, right?
Yeah, we do.
But I don't think you can abstain. Abstaining is because it...
Well, then it would have to be against, because I need a clear cut. I mean, I'm a researcher. I have been to 8 years of college. I want to know. It's got to be cut and dry.
All right, so completely. 3 to 1. So 3
for me.
3 to 1.
No,
you're voting with them.
Yeah.
Okay, 3 to 1. Okay. Thank you.
So one in favor of the plan and 3 against the plan?
Mm-hmm.
Or
correct. Yes.
2 and 2?
No.
3-1.
Can I
sympathize?
You can, as soon as we get to public comment. So, Madam Chair, carry on.
We're into public comment now.
Correct.
Go ahead, Mr. Bundy.
You know, I'd like to address, what is the alternative to this thing? You know, I've said that my rights is established and they're good rights. And I come before we, the people here of this valley, concerned about your rights, not really mine. You know, I'm going to fight mine. I've fought mine on the land. I've fought mine in the jail, and I'm still fighting it in the court. I think my rights are good rights. They've been established well, and I think we've made we're producers, and we're going to continue that. We're going to continue to improve the land and the resources, and we're going to try to protect your rights as much as we can. But you know, right now, if the federal government owns this land, like what 3 of you have said here, then what right do I have? I don't have no right to tell the federal government what they can do with their land. I don't. My rights are nothing. And when I go out there to dig a post hole or fix a water line or whatever...
And it's not just us, it's all of you.
I'm breaking some kind of federal law, lots of federal laws. I could be indicted for them every day. But the other thing is, you know, on my ranks, there's a lot of other people use my ranks. I graze cattle there, and of course the mining and the timber is gone, that type of thing. But you know, on my ranch, any particular day, there's probably at least 100 people out there enjoying off-roading and this type of thing. And you know why they're there? They're there because I've fought most of, for the last 20, 25 years to make sure they stay there. You know, I've fought all these road closures, I've fought all these backcountry byways, I've fought the monument, I've fought everything to try to keep it access to the people. And I come before the people here today expecting some from them to respect their own rights and their own use of this land. I'm going to continue to use it until I guess they shoot me in the head or I go to jail for my life. I will use it. And I'm going to try to take care of it the best I can. But I come here to say, you people need to pay attention. You know, if I accept the fact that this is federal government, and I just turn on this and I say, let's close all of these roads, let's go with all of this land plan that the federal government's got, which I haven't presented it to, I guess, what, 2 of you, 3 of you? You know, they've got a plan that's planned us totally off the land. They have planned us totally off the land. The only reason those four-wheelers and those people are going out there today is because they're sort of stalled.
It's the government.
The government's stalled. I have insisted that area be policed by Clark County Sheriff. As soon as I back off on that and the rangers and the people come on there, everybody out there is going to get tickets and the picnic's over. So anyway, I appreciate your effort, and I wish we could explain it a little better to you where you understand. But I want to tell the committee and the county or however you want to put it, my rights are good rights. They're preemptive rights created, and I've made beneficial use, continuous beneficial use for 150 years. And I figure I'll continue doing that.
142.
Anyway, thank you for doing it.
Thank you. Okay, if there's no other general public comment, we'll close this meeting. Our next...
You know, I do have another comment, being that we're at this point. I should probably do this. I know that you have a representative from the Bureau of Land Management here usually.
He's not here.
This is the first time that I've been here that he's not been here. But I need to make an objection to him reporting here and a point of order. Now, the point of order is that the Wapa Valley Town Board, and agree with me or disagree, is that you only have authority to make decisions within the boundaries of Wapa Valley Town Board boundaries. Is that correct?
Correct.
Do you have the right to make a decision outside the boundaries of Wapa Valley Town Board?
No.
No. Not 1 foot of the so-called monument is within the boundaries of Wapa Valley Town Board. Now, if we go on to the county website and look at the town board boundaries, Wapa Valley Town Board takes in from I-15, the lower Mormon Mesa, the eastern boundary, barely grabs the edge of Clive's Landing, which is that upper arm, that northern arm of Lake Mead, which of course is dry now, and it basically runs north and south, but it doesn't take in any of the boundary east of Lake Mead. And all of that is part of the Bunkerville Town Board. And yet you've had this BLM guy here, and I've watched him several times. He comes and reports what's going on out there in Gold Butte, and I don't know whether you guys are voting on approval of what he does or what he doesn't.
No,
but
he just comes to report. And he just reports.
But this is the wrong place to report if he's going to report at all. He needs to go to Bunkerville. Now, it would have been nice if I had the maps up for you guys to look. You guys can get on the county website and look for yourselves at the boundaries. And so, in other words, next time he comes, he's improperly by reporting to
him. He's giving us public information is all he's doing.
Gotcha. Anyway, I just wanted to make that point of order.
Thank you. Okay, if there's no more general comments, we'll have our next meeting on March 27th, 2019. This meeting is adjourned.